thank you, thank you. You faded down a little bit that time. You was louder before when you talked to that other fellow.
All righty, well, I'm going to make a few announcements, and we're going to get this kicked off.
I'll be all ears.
Good evening to all participants on this 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current events discussion net on amateur radio now, and since the year of 1974, founded by W1WCR. This is the Arium Net, not the Pyrite Net. Current event and amateur radio topics are welcome tonight on the Real Liberty Net. For my opening tonight, I'm going to read the first verse negative. I'm going to read the fourth verse of the National Anthem. These times are pretty precarious with this election, but oh, thus be it ever when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Dear God, I hope we stay a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. With that being said, I'm going to look for a couple more check-ins, and then I'm going to start. This is KAHJOY, looking for check-ins for the the Wednesday Night Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I'm going to open the door. I'm going to mention a piece of legislation that the city of Akron, fortunately, I don't live in the city, but the city of Akron has prohibited gatherings of more than six guests ahead of the Thanksgiving season. Akron, Ohio, in an effort to slow the spread of COVID-19, Akron City Council passed legislation that prohibits large private gatherings and requires face masks or coverings at small private gatherings across the city. The limitation was suggested by the Summit County Public Health as a way to help slow the surge of COVID-19 cases in Akron, primarily happening through casual indoor social or daily gatherings where masks are not being worn. Under the legislation, no residential property owner or family in the city of Akron will be permitted to host more than a six-guest gathering. Guests include anyone who does not permanently live in the home, even close family members who live elsewhere. The legislation also mandates that when small gatherings of six guests or fewer are being held, face masks or coverings are required when a non-resident is in the same room or within 6 feet. Exceptions include individuals under the age of 10. Those activities such as eating meals and medical conditions will not wear the mask at that moment. There will be a civil penalty of $250 fine. They are asking the neighbors of such events to contact the police. Now, here's where they want to defund the police, but now they want to give them more work. So you're to snitch on your neighbors. Snitches get stitches, but you're to snitch on your neighbors and tell the local police that you're not wearing your mask. That is not a law enforcement detail. So that's just one of the several things that are happening in the great state of Ohio that is ridiculous. We have a Fourth Amendment. You have the right to your privacy, your property, and your papers. And they are infringing on that right. With that being said, I will open the door. I don't believe Larry's going to be available, but I'm going to throw it out and see if he's there. N4ROQ, if you're not available, just pass and I'll come back to you.
Okay, I think I got back here for a little while. Let me go ahead there, Bob. Okay, SpaceX Dragon capsule. Four astronauts reach space station. This comes from Cape Canaveral, Florida. SpaceX's newly launched capsule with four astronauts arrived Monday at the International Space Station, their new home until spring. The Dragon capsule pulled up and docked late Monday night following a 27-hour completely automated flight from NASA's Kennedy Space Center. The link-up occurred 262 miles above Idaho. Oh, what a good voice to hear, space station astronaut Kate Rubens called out when the Dragon's commander, Mike Hopkins, first made radio contact. We can't wait to have you on board, she added after the two spacecraft were latched together. This is the second astronaut mission for SpaceX, but it's the first time Elon Musk's company delivered a crew for a full half-year station stay. The two-pilot test flight earlier this year lasted 2 months. So Elon Musk is getting with the program here with these, well, his space program there. It's really moving on. It looks like this is in the USA Today. The recount in Wisconsin would cost Trump campaign $8 million. Comes from USA Today, Madison, Wisconsin. President Donald Trump's campaign would have to pay nearly $8 million to start a recount in Wisconsin, a state he narrowly lost 2 weeks ago. Trump will have to decide by the day whether to carry through with the recount he has promised. If his campaign pays the $7.9 million it cost up front, the recount will begin as soon as Thursday and be complete by December the 1st, according to the State Elections Commission. Trump has been furiously fundraising for the Wisconsin recount and legal challenges in other states to try to overturn Democrat Joe Biden's victory. If he doesn't go ahead with the Wisconsin recount, he can use the money he has raised for other purposes, such as retiring his campaign debt. The price tag for the Wisconsin recount is nearly four times as much as a recount in 2016. That year, the campaign of Green Party candidate Jill Stein had to pay just over $2 million. So I believe they're socking it to Wisconsin, socking it to President Trump here to have this recount. A recount would be so much more costly this year, in part because of the coronavirus pandemic. They're putting it on the pandemic, said Megan Wolf, director of the State Elections Commission. Some counties would need to rent large halls to do the recount so they can keep workers and observers distance from one another. This COVID-19 stuff is pure crap, and it looks like it's going to get worse. What Bob read there already in Ohio. And I've read where on the internet where in France, people have to stay at home, and before they can leave, they have to call out with their phone and get permission to go wherever they want to go. So, you know, we're not very far from that, guys. Not very far from that. Okay, here's one more article here, and I'll turn it loose. Trump explored strike on Iran. It comes from USA Today. Washington President Donald Trump asked advisors about options for a military strike against Iran last week, but held off ordering an operation, according to reports. Trump explored the idea of a military strike against Iran over an inspection report showing Tehran has stepped up the means to make nuclear weapons, according to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. As a meeting Thursday, Trump and members of the national security team discussed potential military and cyber attacks on Iranian nuclear targets, but aides warned him that a strike against Iran's facilities could easily escalate into a broader conflict in the last weeks of President Trump's presidency. Citing anonymous sources, the Times said officials left the meeting with Trump, believing a missile attack inside Iran was off the table. The meeting, including Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Acting Defense Secretary Christopher C. Miller, and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark A. Miley. Some analysts expressed concern that Trump is looking to end his presidency with a dramatic military strike against Iran that would limit the ability of President-elect Joe Biden to receive or revive diplomacy with Tehran after he takes office January the 20th.
Well, this would be the great time to do it right now after they said he wasn't going to do anything, is to knock Iran out of their, take their
centrifuges out, take all that military atomic bombing out over there and get all their nuclear stuff out before Biden takes office, because he's sure not going to worry about it. So back to you there, Bob, from Larry in Tennessee, KA8JLY in Fort Oak.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate your input. Glad you got back. And for ROQ, KHOI, I'm going to step on over to Mr. Bill. Hopefully the band's increasing. You sounded really good down there in Tennessee. KO4FE, KAHJOY.
Okay, KAHJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, you know, it's hard to find anything involving Joe Biden that's not a scam, and here we got yet another story. This doesn't involve his son, as far as I can tell, but here's a headline. Joe Biden's cancer charity spent more than $3.7 million on staff salaries, but distributed $0 towards research grants over 2 years, tax filings reveal. President-elect Joe Biden's cancer charity spent the majority of its money on staff payroll and gave none to research, it has been revealed. First reported by the New York Post, tax filings viewed by DailyMail.com showed that the Biden Cancer Initiative amassed $4,800,000 in contributions but spent $3,070,000 on salaries. Joe and Jill Biden founded the Biden Cancer Initiative in 2017 to help find a cure and solutions to accelerate progress in cancer prevention, but it appears no grants were given out during the first 2 years of operation. Gregory Simon, the Biden Cancer Initiative's president and former Pfizer executive, reportedly received $429,000 during the 2018 fiscal year per filings viewed by DailyMail.com. Simon, who spearheaded the Obama administration's cancer task force, has paid nearly double his was paid nearly double his 2017 earnings, which were $224,000. Danielle Carnival, the former chief of staff of Obama's Cancer Moonshot Task Force, was paid $258,000 in 2018. The director of communications, the director of science policy, and the director of engagement all received six-figure salaries as well. The tax filing showed that the Biden Cancer Initiative spent $57,000 on conferences and $59,000 on travel and expenses in the 2017 tax filings. The numbers rose the next year with conferences costs skyrocketing to a staggering $742,000. And $97,000 on travel. So they've spent roughly about they spent $3 million on salaries and $1 million on travel and conferences out of the $4.8 million that they took in, and they never gave a dollar to actual cancer research. So it looks like it seems like some kind of a payoff scheme or some kind of a scam operation. I mean, how can you have a charity that gives no money to charity? it's really amazing. But it's Joe Biden, so we can't be surprised. Okay, here's another one. This is from the racism police. And as we know, everything's racist nowadays.
Hey, you're welcome to check in.
It's even gone so far that COVID-19 is racist. The term illegal vote is racist. Law and order is racist. It's just everything's racist. Well, here's another one. And the anti-racist brigade is worried about something else now. This is a new one. This is coming out of nowhere. It says working from home could lead to more prejudice, report warns. Widespread working from home could lead to an increase in racism and prejudice, a new report warns. Workplace friendships are key to breaking down misconception. The England and Wales study for the Wolf Institute suggests. Institute founder Ed Kessler said as more people work from home, they risk going back into isolated silos. He called on ministers to focus on offices and workplaces as a vital area of improving community relations. So I guess they want to put people back to work. COVID takes second place to concerns about racism, so it sounds like they want to put people back to work in their offices to fight racism. It says the study suggests that those who work in shared offices, three-quarters, regardless of ethnicity, were in a setting that is ethnically diverse. However, it suggests that unemployed people are 37% more likely to only have friends of their own ethnic group, and it warns that without alternative settings to offices being set up, opportunities for social mixing between different religious and ethnic groups will be greatly reduced. So anyway, the study also examined people's opinions on diversity. And its findings suggest that while nearly three-quarters of non-black or non-Asian respondents were comfortable with a close relative marrying a black or an Asian person, 74% and 70%, less than half said they are uncomfortable with the idea of a close relative marrying a Muslim person. Well, that's what they say, you know. Who's going to come out and say otherwise? The word Muslim appears to trigger more negative sentiment than the word Pakistani, the report said. This is despite the fact that 90% of people of British Pakistani heritage are Muslims. Here they're getting into the weeds on this thing. I get kind of, you know, they're just analyzing it down to the nth degree. But anyway, so now we got a double problem with COVID. Not only is COVID the Chinese virus, they're calling it CV now, Charlie Victor. It's racist because not all races get it at equal rates or die at equal rates. So that's got to be racism. Now working the cure, the remedy for the Chinese virus, working from home, that can cause racism. So I guess it doesn't matter what we do. Everything in the world is racist. Even working from home, that causes racism. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOY. It is amazing how many things is always racist. That term is so overly used and abused, it's ridiculous. I agree with you. All righty, Mr. Cody, in Jacksonville, AG5SU, this is KAHJOY. It is your turn, sir. Alpha Golf 5, Sierra Uniform, KAHJOY.
AG5SU, I heard my name. This is AG5SU.
All righty, there you are. You're kind of down in the weeds, but I hear you. Go ahead.
I can barely hear you, Robert. I'm going to take a pass. I don't think I can do this right here. I'm not making it. Robert, I'm not making it.
I can hear you just fine.
Well, I can hear you, William. I can hear you better than I can hear anybody so far. I heard a little bit of what you were saying. But, I tell you what, something's going to walk you here.
Well, hell, give it a shot. Somebody will hear you.
Take a pass maybe next time around. This AG5SU, next time around, maybe I can't. I'm not kidding. I hear nothing. KO4FE.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, could you relay to Robert? No, I'm not getting him at all.
Yeah, Roger. Hey, Bob, can you hear me? That station you called on says he's got bad reception, so you might want to just move on to the next person on the list.
All righty, Bill. Yeah, I heard him when he checked in, but I don't hear him now, so I know you're talking to him, so... I'm going to jump over to Mr. Moe, KD0RSA out there in Nebraska. Your signal's doing good here to Ohio. Go ahead.
KD0RSA, Moe out here in Nebraska. Well, thank you, Bob. I was just going to be all ears, but being the other guy didn't say anything, I'll just say my piece. Minnesota is shutting everything down tomorrow, as far as I can hear. And Trump fired another fellow that was telling the news people that there wasn't anything wrong with the election. He fired him this morning, and he needs to fire a lot more of them, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, there was something else I was going to say, but at my age, I just kind of slipped my mind all of a sudden. I hope you guys don't get that, at what's going on. Anyway, I bought taters today. I bought 50 pounds of taters for $9.95. And they're Russell. They're real nice, big taters. Anyway, the fellow that carried them out or helped wheel them out to my pickup, he was wearing a mask and wearing a beard. And I told him, I said, well, you watch people that are getting sick, and everybody that's wearing a mask is the ones that are getting sick. I wasn't wearing a mask, and I don't wear one. Anyway, I went to Menards the other day to get some paint, and I walked by the little sawed-off guy in the side there telling me I had to wear a mask, and I got curved back there. And three salesmen got on to me. I had to wear a mask, and they wouldn't even sell me any paint. And so basically, they told me to get out, or I had to wear a mask. And I told them, you know where to go. And I turned around and walked out of the store. I didn't buy their paint either. Anyway, it's good to hear that... we got people sticking up for Donald J. Trump. I'll stick up for him even if he don't get to be president. He done a whale of a job when he was in there, and when you had to put up with all the crap that went against him. he done very, very, very well. There wasn't another one of them that would have put up with that much crap. And it was too bad that he didn't fire more of the people that was in there that he should have fired. But maybe the next 4 years he'll get them fired out of there. I sure hope so. As far as this election, them computers was programmed just like a slot machine. They give probably 5 votes for Biden and 2 for Trump, no matter what the card said when it went in there. Anyway, it's great to get on the net. I do appreciate it. And I can hear you very good, Bob. And the fellow, F.E. something, brother, I believe I could hear him very well. Of course, Larry was a little on the low side. Of course, he always is. But anyway, why the other fellow, I could hardly hear him, but I'll turn her back to you, Jesse. I'll turn her back to you, Bob. KD0RSA. Over and out.
Thank you, Mo. I can copy you very well here in Ohio. KD0RSA, KHOI. Well, I'm going to make 2 comments to what you said. I don't go to Menards anymore because of that whole mask thing. And the people that I know that have gotten COVID, and there's only been 2, one of them is my daughter, she's a nurse, she always had to have a mask on, and she got it really early in February, and one of the people that I have amateur radio brunch with, he's a mask hugger every time we go to the restaurant, and now he's been diagnosed with it. The rest of us don't wear them, and we're all negative, so
I agree with you.
I'm going to read a quick article about Georgia. The recount monitor in Georgia discovered 9,626 vote error in the hand recount of DeKalb County. One of our monitors discovered a 9,626 vote error in the county. One batch was labeled 10,707 for Biden and 13 for Trump, which was improbable. The actual count was 1,000, not 10,000, 1,000 for Biden and 13 for Trump. So right there we see a problem. Had this counting error not been discovered, Biden would have gained enough votes from this one batch alone to cancel out Trump's gains from Fayette, Floyd, and Walton County.
So we see there is improprieties in this whole voting cluster, whatever you want to call it. So I'm going to see if there's any new check-ins, and then I'm going to go back up to the list. This is KAAJOY for the Wednesday Night Liberty Net, looking for some late check-ins. Over.
Nothing heard. I'll go back to Mr. Larry. Hopefully he's got his detail complete. And for ROQ, Mr. Larry in the great state of Tennessee, this is KAAJOY. He must be still busy, so Bill, I'm going to hand it back to you. KO4FE, KAAJOY.
Okay, KAAJOY in the Liberty Net from KO4FE. Okay, Bob. Well, it's it looks like the left isn't done in Portland. They I thought that Biden was going to put an end to all these leftist attacks, but apparently it's not going to happen. Here's a headline: Zero Hedge. Black activists in Portland want nothing to do with the city's leftist anarchists. So we got a split between BLM and Antifa, it looks like. It says the black activist community in Portland is putting some distance between itself and the anarchists roaming the city using the Safe PDX protest Twitter account to mobilize. That's because the election of Joe Biden, seen as a victory by many of the protesters and by many in the BLM movement, simply isn't enough for the anarchists in Portland. In fact, Biden's election actually exposed their differences with the black activists they claim to support, according to the LA Times. The group of anarchists, very likely unsure of exactly what they were protesting for at this point, recently gathered after Joe Biden's victory in the recent election, spurred by a call to action by the Twitter account. About 50 people gathered around one young man to lambaste liberals for celebrating the defeat of President Trump while capitalism and the political system remained entrenched. One protester says, "I'm tired of liberal complacency," as the group started chanting F Joe Biden and marched towards the city's Democratic headquarters. This has led black activists and community leaders to speak out, claiming the anarchists are so-called hijacking their movement and are now undermining the push for racial justice. Mingus Maps, a black resident who won a seat on the Portland City Council this month, said, "When people set fire to a building, it really does not liberate me one bit, but it does the opposite. It fuels the political culture that makes racism possible." So here we go. Everything's racism again. Even the anarchists are being accused of promoting racism. So anyway, keep an eye on that one. The communists, the anarchists, I don't know why they keep calling them anarchists, they're communists. And BLM and the black activists are all starting to go against each other. Well, here's another story. This is back to the anti-racism and racism campaign. Now listen to this. Cornell English Department says calling English Department the English Department is racist. Did you get that? So anyway, let me read a little more. It said, Cornell University's English Department voted to change its name to, quote, the Department of Literatures in English to challenge structural racism. In their first faculty meeting of the semester, Cornell faculty introduced the proposal in order to combat the, quote, conflation of English as a language and English as a nationality. Director of Undergraduate Studies Professor Kate McCullough told the Cornell Daily Sun, "The term English department might give students the idea that English literature was invented by the English." Let me read that again. "The term English department might give students the idea that English literature was invented by the English, which would mean that some people's ancestors accomplished things that other people's ancestors did not, which cannot be true." Yeah, so it wasn't the English. I guess what'd they do? They stole Shakespeare from Africa and translated Swahili into English and called it English literature? I don't know what they're talking about. It says the term Department of Literatures in English demonstrates that African American literature owes no debts to English literature. They are just literatures that happened to be in English. It's not like African American writers have been influenced by, say, the King James Bible. So anyway, there you go. England doesn't exist. The English language doesn't exist. English literature is racist, and it doesn't exist. So anyway, there you go. I guess if these people aren't going to be satisfied until any vestige of white people or anything created by white people or literature that was written by white people or even countries populated by white people for thousands and thousands of years, none of that's going to exist. They want to get rid of it because opposing anything like opposing the eradication of white people and their heritage is racism. So there you go. More of the campaign on racism. Everything's racism, even the English language. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-A-J-O-Y, K-O-4-F-E.
Totally amazing how we can make everything in this nation racial. And the people that are making it racial are complaining about racism, but they're using the term over and over and over. It's bizarre. Well, Bill, I can't get to that AG5SU station, so why don't you give a shout and see if you can make contact with them next. Over.
Yeah, who? What station are you referring to?
The Alpha Golf 5 Sierra Uniform, AG5SU.
Yeah, Alpha Golf, that Alpha Golf station, go ahead. AG5SU, you in there? I'm not hearing him, Bob. He must have checked out.
All righty. Well, I'll throw one more out. I was kind of hoping Jesse would be here for this one. Pennsylvania mandating people to wear masks inside their home. Pennsylvania's Democratic Governor Tom Wolf has announced new COVID restrictions, including ordering people to wear masks inside their home. Additionally, anyone who visits Pennsylvania from another state must get tested within 72 hours before entering the state or quarantine for 14 days. Residents who travel to other states must follow the same rules when coming home. There will be an exception for those who commute to and from another state for work. Strengthening mask orders. Masks are still required indoors, outdoors, are required anytime you're around your household or in your household. Social distancing applies. If you have people in your home that are not part of your household, the Department of Health of Pennsylvania tweeted Tuesday. The state already has a mask order for when you leave your home. Philadelphia has gone even further, announcing on Monday that they are banning indoor gatherings and dining, as well as closing casinos, gyms, museums, and libraries. So Pennsylvania is definitely going against your First Amendment and Fourth Amendment rights. The state of Ohio, they're now saying at wedding receptions, you're not allowed to dance. So the bride is not allowed to dance with her dad. That's just bizarre. With that being said, I'll run back over to Mr. Moe, KD0RSA. Any comments? Over.
KD0RSA. Thank you, Bob. I really don't have nothing else to add. I can't even really just sit here and shoot the bull. I sure would like to have Jesse in there. He had a pretty good one last week, saying, nevertheless, I'll stick up for Trump no matter what, that's just the way it is. And as far as Nebraska, why, the governor hasn't come out and said that we have to wear masks yet, but Iowa did. And but our governor is waiting a few days. Iowa's got a woman governor, and we got a man governor. I hope he's got more brains than Iowa does. But anyway, I hope he don't force it, because I still won't wear a mask. When you wear a mask, why, if your nose runs, why, it runs down there, and then you slop it up on your lips. That don't go very good, I wouldn't think. Maybe that's why there's so many of them getting sick. They're eating their own exhaust. What do you think of that? Anyway, why, it's great to have a president like Donald J. Trump. And I think it depends on the Electoral College. Apparently,
if they don't get enough votes, it'll go down to the Electoral College, and I hope them men that they get in on the Electoral College accusing the president have enough brains to resist Biden and the communists and the social whatever they're trying to push. Plumb crazy to go that route. Why don't they go over and sample it a while and then see if they want it someplace? KD0RSA, I'll turn it back to you, Bob. Over.
Thank you, Mr. Moe. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice in there, and you're sounding good from Nebraska. KD0RSA. Jesse had some work to do. He said he was going to try to make it here at about 10:30. So let me throw it out and see if we have anybody to check in, and hopefully the Jesse's there. So this is KHAOI, looking for check-ins. Jesse's not heard. Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, are you back, sir? Over. Well, I know Larry's probably got something to add, so I'm going to throw it back to Bill. Do you have another article? And we'll see if Larry or Jesse shows up while you're giving yours. Over.
Okay, KAHJOY and the Liberty Net. This is KO4FE. Yeah, Bob, there's never a shortage of articles, and I got yet another anti-racist campaign article. Listen to this. Brown University students demand removal of so-called white supremacist Roman statues. The students at Brown University have started a campaign that calls for the removal of campus statues of Roman emperors Caesar Augustus and Marcus Aurelius over concerns that they represent white supremacy. According to a report by Campus Reform, a group of student activists at Brown University has launched a campaign to remove two statues of Roman emperors from campus. A student group called Decolonization at Brown has argued recently that campus statues of Caesar Augustus and Marcus Aurelius should be removed from campus over their alleged promotion of domination and bigotry. I don't get the connection. Anyway, it says it's not that difficult to see how a statue of Caesar Augustus would serve as an icon of colonial and imperial domination, one member of the group said. They function not as monuments to ancient Rome, but to a set of values and political stances which existed when they were commissioned on Brown's campus, close quote. In a Facebook post, the student group argued that the statues promote colonialism and white supremacy. They also linked to a blog post that called on the university to remove the statues. Quote, the descriptions of the statues' arrival leave no room for misinterpretation. The education for students at Brown, which then was almost exclusively white elite men, was designed to mold them accordingly to classical ideals of whiteness, the blog post reads. This ideal is the origin of the monuments, not an interpretation or argument against them. A spokesman for the university said the administrators had not received an official proposal from the student activists that have called for the removal of the statues. The spokesperson said they would consider the proposal to remove the statue in accordance with the standard procedures. They ought to just tell them to go pound sand. You know, just don't even listen to them. They're just a bunch of rabble-rousers and lunatics. Says the university has received no proposal regarding the removal of the statues on campus, the spokesman said in a short statement. If we do receive a proposal, we'd work through our established structures for considering public art on the Brown campus. Those would likely include our public art working group, which has representation from faculty, staff, and students, as well as our governing body's board's subcommittee on public art. So anyway, there you go. Roman statues are white supremacists. That's got to be removed. It's all, look at these clowns. Oh, God. What a crew. But anyway, Bob, 73s to everyone, and thanks for running the net and under difficult conditions. I hope these band conditions improve because it really makes it tough. But anyway, that's just the way it goes. We can't do anything about it, so I'll kick it back to you, Bob, and let you continue on. KA8JOY Liberty Net, KO4FE.
All righty, Bill. Thank you for joining us tonight. Let me see if Jesse's there. N4ROQ? No, see if Larry's there. N4ROQ, KHOI. How about Mr. Jesse? Did you show back up? KG4ZXC, KHOI. Well, I'll close. I have one article here on my computer. It says, Nancy Pelosi announced on Wednesday that she will step down as the top Democrat in the House of Representatives in 2022 in a deal with Democratic lawmakers pushing for generalization change. The deal secures her the vote she needs to become Speaker of the House in January. The term limits proposal, if passed by a majority of the Democratic members, would require that all three senior leadership members step aside after serving three terms. They could serve a fourth term with two-thirds support of the Democratic caucus, because it would apply retroactively, the upcoming Congress would be Pelosi's third term as leader. Over the summer, I made it clear that I see myself as a bridge to the next generation of leaders. Yeah, those worthless females called the squad. A recognition of my continuing responsibility to mentor and achieve new members into positions of power and responsibility in the House of the Democratic Caucus, unquote. Quote, I am comfortable with the proposal and it is my intention to abide by it, whether it passes or not, unquote. So if we don't get more Republicans in that House of Representatives, we've got that crazy woman there again. So with that being said, let me see if Larry or Jesse are back before I close. Hearing neither, I am going to grab my little piece of, where's my little paper? I know it's here somewhere. I've got so many things going on right now on my little desk here with all the different, I was working on my one of my cars, and I just kind of lost, I know it's here, just kind of lost the closing. So, kind of a quick one tonight. Sorry, everybody, the conditions are garbage, but as I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are listening, and 73s to tonight's Liberty Netters, including Mr. Victor, W1WCR, Mr. Marty, N2IRJ, Miss Laura, N2JTTF, as they are absent. It is my prayer for God to bless this great state, great country. This is KHOY. Night.